First, the easy stuff, defining the hedging relationship. At the outset, you need to designate the hedging relationship, and presumably the premise for entering into any derivative contract is risk management overall. Really not focusing on speculative trades. There really hasn't been any of that among corporate or financial institution users in my experience in the recent past, the late 90s. I know that some of the previous speakers discussed index amortizing swaps and the like, speculative or not. Is it speculative or is it an opportunity? You know, it's debatable, but there's even things of that nature you just don't see happening in any significant volume anymore. You need to identify what the risk is that you're hedging. What are the risks? First of all, what's the specific item or items that you're exposed to? You have to identify the balance sheet item or the anticipated transaction that's creating the exposure. And as we all know, hedging income doesn't work or is frowned upon. We have to look at the risk factors being hedged. Is it interest rate risk? Is it commodity, FX, etc.? We have to adhere to the bifurcation rules according to the clearly and closely related standards set out in 133, which is a large issue area that I'm not really going to talk about today. And we need to, of course, identify what the hedging instrument is, what's the derivative instrument you're using, and what, if any, additional derivatives are embedded within it. Now onto some of the not-so-easy stuff. There needs to be a reasonable basis for the hedging relationship. You need to document why you think the hedge is going to work. That implies some homework on the part of either the hedger or the risk management advisor or provider. And there are many, many ways to look at the data that are available. In some cases, there's not much data available. You need to define what the methodology is that you're going to use to assess effectiveness. How will you know if the hedge is working or not over time? The standard says you can use any reasonable methodology that you like. Of course, as the standard is evolving, what constitutes reasonableness is evolving too. You have to use the same methodology throughout. You can't change from one approach to another approach over the life of the hedging relationship. And then there has to be this notion of highly effective. The hedge has to be highly effective. And we have this idea out there that something has to fall within 80 to 125%. The hedge and the hedged item have to track each other within this sort of confidence band. And we'll drill a little bit into what that means, because it's not necessarily clear and can mean many things to many people. As you go forward with the hedge effectiveness testing, we know that there's really two stages. The first is a prospective test, and the second is a retrospective test. Prospectively, the terminology is great. Prospectively, you look at past data to stipulate what will happen in the future. So you can look at past correlations, maybe regression data, ratios of some kind, to reckon why you think the hedge will be effective going forward. Retrospectively, in the earlier stages of 133, there was a notion of some sort of an effectiveness ratio that had to be computed. The effectiveness ratio that people most commonly discussed was one that could fall outside of the 80 to 125% band, even under completely trivial rate moves. So that idea has fallen by the wayside. The retrospective test really is purely a dollar offset that has to be recognized. And the dollar offset simply flows through income, any ineffectiveness that takes place in offsetting the dollar change in cash flows or fair values flows through income. Yes?
Use dollar offsets no matter what determining
setting the dollar.